Tara si dikshurane dikpati kamaniyam shurane dikpati kamaniyam Tara si dikshurane dikpati kamaniyam Dasamukamali bale ramaniyam Dasamukamali bale ramaniyam Kesavajita Rama Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Kesavajita Rama Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Kesavare Dharama Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Kesavare Dharama Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Tara Siddhik Surane Jukhati Kamaniyam Kamaniyam Tara Siddhik Surane Jukhati Kamaniyam Dukpati kamaniya Dasamukamali bhale ramaniyam Kesavare Dharama Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Kesavare Dharama Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Kesavare Dharama Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Dharama Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jaya Sitaram, Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya Sitaram. Jaya Lakshman Hanuman, Jaya Lakshman Hanuman, Lakshman Hanuman, Jaya Lakshman Hanuman. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Om Gyan Atmarandasya, Anantana Shalakaya, Chakshurun Nalitamena, Krishnaya Shri Yoga Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Swabharantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Parakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri. Shri Rupam Sahagratam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vikam, Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Sri Radha Krishna Padam Agana Lalita Sri Visakandita He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangke Radhe Vindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hare Vanchik Atarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschajane Shikarama Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who has assumed the form of Ramachandra, all glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroy the ten-headed demon of Ravana and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities and the ten directions, headed by Indra. This action was long desired by all of them, who were very much harassed by this monster. This is by Jayadeva Goswami. Also found a very wonderful verse by Sanatana Goswami from his Krishna Lila Stava, which glorifies Lord Ram. And he says, Sitapati Dasharate Ragudvaha Sri Ramahe Koshalaja Sutabjadrik Sri Lakshmana Jeshta Hanumad Ishvara Sugriva Bando Bharatagraja Prabhu He Dandakaranya Charaya Shilahe Kodandapane Karadushanantaka Badabdi Seto Vivibhushana Shrita Lankesha Gatim Jayako Shalendra He. O Lord Ramachandra, O husband of Sita, O son of Dasarath, O chief descendant of the Raghu dynasty, O lotus eyed son of Kaushalya, O elder brother of Lakshman, O master of Hanuman, O friend of Sugriva, O younger brother of Bharat. O Lord, who performed the activities of a saintly person wandering in the Dandaka forest. O Lord, who holds a bow in his hand. O Rama, the demon, O killer of the demon Dushana. O builder of the bridge across the ocean. O shelter of Vibhishana, O killer of Ravana, the demoniac king of Lanka, O Lord of the Kochala province, all glories unto you. So I especially wanted to focus today on this one aspect of Ram as the protector. And we'll read this description of how he gave shelter to Vibhishana. Very heartwarming story. This solace to all the devotees of the Lord. So we know that Lord Chaitanya spoke to Sanatana Goswami about the different incarnations. And Lord Rama is described as Lila Avatar. And it's inconceivable, actually, how Krishna, Keshava Dvita, Rama Sharira, our Lord Krishna, the one Supreme Personality of Godhead, can appear in innumerable forms. Although he is one, he can expand himself into so many. So Brahma Samhita says, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Kistan Nana Vakadam Akaro Bhuvanesha Kinti Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Padamam Pumanyo Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhagyana. So this means that Krishna, Govindam, the original person whom we worship. Actually, when I was asked to give this class, I thought, what can I say about Lord Ram? I've been spending the last 40 years trying to become a Krishna Bhakta. Trying to find out something about Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna. What do I know about Ram? But he's our same Lord, wonderful Lord. Ram appearing in a very special way to teach us these different lessons. So it's said here by Lord Brahma himself, Kala Niyamena Tishtan, that these are portions or expansions of Krishna. Lord Rama is an expansion of Krishna. How he does that is a very elaborate topic. We won't go into that right now. But sometimes we might think of an expansion or as a portion as something less, but always this is given as plenary portion. So plenary means complete. So it's not like some broken part or something, but when Krishna, the all-powerful Supreme Person, the original person, expands himself, he's still complete and he's all-powerful. And Brahma Samhita also describes how he does this. Departure eva hidasantaram abhipeta. Just like a candle, if you have a candle flame burning and you touch another candle to it and you separate it, that flame is as powerful. Vipayateva vitahetu samana dharma. It says, powerful as the original. It's a duplicate of the original. It's no less powerful. But still, one is the origin. So Krishna is that origin. But all of these expansions, they are also complete, full in all potencies. So, I was reading, Srila Prabhupada explains nicely how this point, that Ram appeared as the ideal king, and that's the principle. Krishna would sometimes violate different things, religious principles. Sometimes he wouldn't always tell the truth like that. And because Srila Prabhupada explains that he appeared as the full-fledged personality of Godhead, and he was actually showing a higher morality, supreme morality. But in his form as Lord Ram, he's showing the form as the perfect king, always moral instruction, always the perfect the perfect ruler, the benevolent father, and so on. So Srila Prabhupada explained this. I wanted to read this a little bit to you. He says, Maharaj Dasarath was a great devotee of the Lord, but because he was a Kshatriya king, keeping his promise was inevitable for him. He preferred to banish Ramachandra on the request of his wife on the principle of keeping his promise. In the higher states of spiritual life, one can break even promises also. But there are devotees of comparative merit. In the case of Vasudev, we find that he was spiritually more advanced than Maharaj Dasarath. Vasudev was also in agreement with Kamsa that he would deliver all his sons to Kamsa's hand. As soon as the children were born. But in the case of Krishna, Vasudev broke his promise. The point is that Krishna appeared as the full-fledged personality of Godhead, but Ramachandra appeared as an ideal king. Therefore, in the Leela of Ramachandra, principles of morality and ethics, as they are followed by an ideal king and ruler, were followed. So, I was thinking how this Ramayana is the ultimate epic. There's these shape-shifting, shape-changing demons, and so many wonderful things. They could fly in the sky. So, at the time of Ram's appearance, there was there was already a great disturbance in the world by Ravana. He had performed austerities for many, many years, thousands of years, to get the benediction of Lord Brahma. And he was given the power that he could not be killed by anyone, except he forgot to ask that he not be killed by a human being, because he didn't consider human being that wouldn't possibly be a human being that could kill him. So he neglected that. Also, it's mentioned that, I just heard this recently, that the other brothers also performed austerities. Kumbhakarna performed austerities for thousands of years, and he was so powerful. And he was also going to ask for a benediction. And Lord Brahma thought, whoa, he's already so powerful. If he asks for a benediction, what will we do? So he asks Saraswati, that you please make some arrangement in his mind. So have you ever said something you don't mean to say that ever happened to you? Well, just imagine this. Kumbhakarna performed austerities for thousands of years, and then he asked for the benediction that he could sleep for 6 months. Wow. So, and then he was thinking, what did I say? What did I just say? I performed all these austerities and I've got this benediction. So he would wake up for one day every 6 months. Amazing. So anyway, they were great demons, except for one brother. He also performed austerities, but he was a great devotee, and he only asked for devotion. His name was Vibhishan. He was the youngest brother. So Ravana, he was given this benediction by Lord Brahma, and he was extremely powerful. He defeated all the demigods. I believe he stole the chariot of his brother, Kuvera. And they traveled around the universe, just creating havoc. They would destroy the sacrifices, they would kill the sages, and anyway, we won't say everything they did right now, but it was very horrible and disturbing. So at this same time, or a little later than this, actually one of the people that Ravana killed was, I forget his name now, but he was one of the predecessors of Maharaj Dasarath. And at that time, this king, Ravana was deriding him that you're just insignificant. And this king said, I have been killed by my own karma, so you shouldn't brag. It was my time to go, but when it's your time, you will also go. In my dynasty, someone will appear that can take care of you. So it was foretold that Lord Ram would appear, but nevertheless, at that time, Dasarath had no heirs, and he was very, very concerned. So he performed a sacrifice, horse sacrifice, and it was successful. And all of the demigods appeared in that sacrifice, but they weren't seen. They weren't seen by anyone. And at that time, the demigod spoke to Lord Brahma, who was also there, and they said, Lord Brahma, you've really made a big mistake. You've given this demon all of these powers, and now he's harassing everyone. So you need to pray to the Lord that he will appear at this time. What could be a better time? Maharaj Dasarath is performing a sacrifice. There's this demon harassing the world, so you need to pray to the Lord. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said, yes, I will appear, and all of you demigods, you will also come as monkeys. So this was their mission. He ordered all of the demigods to appear as monkeys, because Ravana also couldn't be disturbed by monkeys, either monkeys and human beings. So in this way, Lord Ram made his wonderful appearance, and it's described here. We heard this also this morning. Of all the brothers, Ram was especially glorious. His attractive body had the hue of a celestial emerald, dressed in the finest silk, and adorned with golden ornaments. He captured the mind of all who saw him. Ram was devoted to his father's service. He took delight in the science of archery, and quickly mastered the arts of horseback and elephant riding. Could also ride elephants, as well as the various methods of driving a chariot. So we're going to fast forward a little bit to where Sita was captured and by trickery, and Ram was searching to find her. And he made an alliance with the monkeys. And then Hanuman went to Lanka. We all know these pastimes. I read this section recently. It was very amazing to hear how Hanuman just totally devastated Lanka. All of these big rakshasas, and he just destroyed so many things. He killed many rakshasas. And finally, Indrajit actually was conquered Lord Indra, so he was given this weapon of the Brahmastra. So imagine that. He threw this Brahmastra at Hanuman, and that slowed Hanuman down a little bit. It's described that he came under its control, but only for a short time. So he pretended to play like that it had bothered him, so that he could be brought before Ravana. And then in front of Ravana, he told him that you should return Sita. If you know what's good for you, you should return Sita. And so Ravana became very angry, and he wanted to kill him. But Vibhishana said, no, you shouldn't kill a messenger. A messenger should not be killed. So somehow or other he agreed, but he decided to light his tail on fire. So at that time, the Agni came and protected Hanuman, so he felt it as being very cool. Is the fire, he felt it as very cool. And Hanuman could also change sizes. He could become very small or very big. So he was bound up, but he became very small and he slipped out of the ropes and then ran around the city just burning everything. And then he went up to one high place and he leapt across the ocean. So this kind of freaked out the Rakshasas, that they hadn't even encountered Ram yet. And this one monkey just wasted their entire city. So they were having a council. And they asked him what they should do. So being true demoniac personalities, they felt that it was just a mistake. They're actually Ram and Hanuman, you know, they didn't really have any superior powers. They just tricked them, they caught them by surprise. And if they had another chance, they would surely take care of them all. So Ravana began asking different people what he should do. So we can read a little bit of this. Vibhishana, Ravana's young, all of them counseled Ram that he should go ahead and fight with Ram, that there's nothing to fear. But Vibhishana, Ravana's younger brother, then stood up. As the clamor of the other demons died down, he spoke to Ravana. The wise declare that force should only be used after other methods of achieving one's aim have failed. Furthermore, force is said to be likely to succeed only when the enemy is weaker. Good advice. Devoid of virtue, or condemned by their own adverse fate. So this is interesting. Force can be effective even if someone's stronger, if that person is condemned by their own karma or by their own lack of virtue. It continues, Ram is ever alert, possesses boundless might. He is virtue incarnate and is assisted by every divine power. No one who knows what is best would counsel an attack upon Ram. So Vibhishana was not like the other Rakshasas. He was different. Vibhishana advised Ravana to give Sita back to Ram. If he did not do so, then before long he would witness the total destruction of Lanka. All the heroic Rakshasas would perish like moths entering the fire. Ravana should pursue the path of righteousness if he wanted to see his city and his followers survive. So Ravana listened to this and he didn't like it. He didn't like to hear this, but he knew that often his brother would give him good advice, even though he didn't like to hear it. So he said, well, let me consider this. So the following day at dawn, Vibhishana again approached Ravana as he passed through the long, wide passageways of Ravana's palace. He heard the sound of Vedic hymns being chanted by the Yatu Dhanas, blessing the Rakshasa king that he might attain victory. Vibhushana knew that Ravana was not going to achieve victory against Ram. He had to avert the total devastation of his people, which he now saw as imminent. Vibhishana entered Ravana's chambers and greeted his brother with gentle and soothing words. Ravana glanced over at an ornate golden seat, and Vibhushana sat down, looking intently upon his brother. Vibhishana had studied all the codes of religion. He knew what was right in every circumstance, and he now tendered beneficial advice to Ravana. Ever since Sita was abducted, there have been numerous bad omens in Lanka. The sacrificial fires emit sparks, and it is enveloped by smoke. The cow's milk has dried up. Horses neigh dolefully, even though well fed and tended. Crows swarm about, uttering harsh cries. Jackals howl ominously day and night. And he says, this action of giving back Sita alone will save you. All the other Rakshasas and this city from destruction. Even if you find me in some way self-motivated, you should not ignore my advice, for doing so will have terrible consequences. So Ravana couldn't accept this advice. He couldn't manage to give up the thought of attaining Sita, although he would actually never attain her. And he told the Rakshasas a lie. He said that Sita had agreed to his proposal within 1 year, which was not true. So anyway, Ravana wouldn't back down. We'll read some more. As Ravana and his generals approached the hall, trumpets blared and cockshell sounds blasted. Innumerable kettle drums were beaten, and the demon king went through the great doorway into his hall. Ravana strode across the golden floor of the hall toward his celestial throne. So he called that all of get ready for battle. And his minister came back and said, yes, it is done. So one last time, finally, Vibhishana tried to persuade him. And instead of accepting, actually Ravana began to, say so many things about him. O Rakshasa, you now should seek our counsel. I'm sorry, missed this. Finally, Ravana at this point, he asked for Kumbhakarna's advice. And Kumbhakarna says this, O Rakshasa, you now seek our counsel? But what advice did you ask when you stole Sita from Ram? He thundered, actions taken without due consideration of their righteousness and without recourse to proper counsel lead only to grief. On an impulse alone, you abducted Sita from Ram, and now you face a severe consequence. But fortunately, however, you have me as your well-wisher. I shall make good your foolish action by standing against Ram and Lakshman on the battlefield. Give up your fear and rest at ease. The two human brothers will not return with life once they face me. Actually, this is one day out of 6 months that he happened to be awake. So fortunately, he could give him this advice, but still, he didn't accept the advice. So it's described that he was, you know, it was these words hurt him, but still he said, I cannot give up Sita. And at that time, he actually revealed this whole pastime of Ramba and why, how he was cursed and all of that. So, anyway, this is Vibhishan's final attempt. So he says, by whom has the immense and highly venomous serpent known as Sita been tied around your neck? That serpent has for its sharp fangs Sita's sweet smile, her bosom as its coils, her five fingers are its five hoods, and her thoughts of Ram are its deadly poison. O Ravana, do not destroy your race. Before we see monkeys like great mountains bounding toward Lanka, and arrows like thunderbolts falling on the heads of our warriors, return Sita to Ram. So Ravana, in return, he said, how do you call yourself a Rakshasa? O weak uncle, surely you are devoid of courage, virility, prowess, heroism, and spirit. These two men can be slain by any Rakshasa, even the most insignificant among us. Why then do you tremble in fear? Indrajit began to brag about his own strength also, and they said that they could take care of him. So finally Ravana spoke. He said, it is better to live with an enraged serpent than a person who, although pretending to be a friend, is actually in league with the enemy. It is a fact that kinsfolk usually despise their chief, even though he may be carrying out all his duties. Interesting point. O disgrace of our race. Oh, the greatest danger lies in one's own relatives, he said. O disgrace of our race, for they may turn on one at any time. Actually, this is the history of every kingdom, practically speaking. We spent some time in Europe this year visiting different old kingdoms, and sometimes within a course of 100 years there's 30 different kings. They ruled for 10 years, you know, or 5 years, or 1 year, and they were killed usually by their relatives. So this is the nature of trying to be a king. Although a brother, you are unworthy of my affection. Indeed, one bestowing love upon an unworthy obtains only grief. Ravana vented his anger, insulting Vibhishan in various ways. So Vibhishana realized that there was nothing he could do to help this proud demon king. So he spoke, you who have addressed me with harsh words, O king, are deluded. Say what you will, for your intelligence is lost. Those seeking pleasant words can easily be found, O Ravana, but one who speaks unpalatable truth is rare. One fallen under death's sway does not heed the words of wisdom offered by a well-wisher. I have tried my best, wishing to save you from certain destruction. Now be happy in my absence. I can no longer tolerate your abusive speech, even though you are my elder. Farewell, I shall depart. Then it's amazing. Then Vibhishana soared up into the sky. He's Rakshasas had these kind of powers that just soar up into the sky. And he was also accompanied by his, he had four very close friends that also accompanied him. Oh, we're running out of time, and I haven't got to the punchline yet. Are we good for a few minutes? Okay. There's no breakfast anyway, so. So Vibhishana had decided to join Ram, and he crossed the ocean. They just flew across the ocean, and they came to Ram's camp. So imagine, here's all of the all the monkeys, and there's these like four huge rakshasas just floating in the sky above them. So they were certainly ominous looking. And Sugriva looked closely at Vibhushana. The rakshasa looked like a mountain or a cloud and vied with Indra in splendor. All five rakshasas were holding various weapons, so they surely looked fierce. Sugriva spoke to Hanuman, "Surely these rakshasas have some malicious intentions at heart. Let us take up rocks and trees. Leaping into the air, we shall quickly finish them before they can execute their plan." As Sugriva spoke, Vibhishana addressed him from the sky. "There is an evil," this is Vibhishana speaking, "there is an evil rakshasa by the name of Ravana. I am his brother, Vibhishana. He has carried away Ram's consort by using trickery and deceit. Although I repeatedly advised him to return the princess, the demon would not listen. I have thus come here to seek Ram's shelter." So Sugriva was still very suspicious that he must have some ill intent. But nevertheless, they went to Ram, and they told him, all the different monkeys said that he can't be trusted. And finally, Ram listened to all of them. What was their advice? That you just can't trust this person. Although he's coming as a friend, he must have some ill intent. So finally, Ram turned to Hanuman and asked what his advice was. And he said, "Although you are well able to ascertain for yourself the Rakshasa's intention," he didn't need to ask, he knows everything, you nevertheless seek our opinion out of humility and kindness. I shall therefore speak my feelings in this regard. In my view, we should accept Vibhishan as our own. I do not think he has any devious purpose." So Hanuman said he didn't detect anything. He's very perceptive, and he could perceive ill motives in a person, and he did not perceive anything in him. So Ram spoke. This is a very famous section, and we can understand how Ram is the protector. Said, "I cannot refuse to receive a person who has sought my shelter. Whatever his intentions, I must accept a supplicant. This is never condemned in the eyes of good people." Sugriva was alarmed by Ram's statement. He was still convinced that Vibhishana was inimical. The Monkey King tried again to convince Ram. "What does it matter whether his intentions are good or bad?" Sugriva argued. "After all, he is a rakshasa and will always revert to his own nature. Furthermore, if he can abandon even his own brother, how can we ever trust him as our friend?" interesting point. He said that he may be good intention now, but he has this nature. Right? We do see this, in fact, how sometimes people have good intentions and then they become overwhelmed by their nature and act in just the opposite way. But we also have this experience. And he's also giving this argument that he betrayed his own brother, so how can he be trusted? So again, this is dharma. The other brothers of Ravana were also dharmic by serving their elder brother. But Vibhishana actually understood a higher dharma of surrendering to the Lord. And in fact, he is really the true well-wisher of his brother. He didn't betray him. He actually gave him the best. So these are the natural doubts. So Ram answers him, "Your concerns are well-founded, O noble Vanara, but I have given it careful thought. Even if this demon is malevolent, what harm can he do? I can annihilate the entire horde of Rakshasas with my fingertip." And that's one point. "We should not have any fear, and we should always abide by the instructions of the Vedas." So Ram concluded, "If a person comes to me saying, 'I am yours,' only once, then I shall give him courage and protection from all danger forever after. That is my solemn vow made here before you all. Even if Ravana himself came to me, I would not refuse his shelter. Bring Vibhishana here, for I have already granted him safety." Jai Ram. So, of course, this is a famous verse. This was quoted by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami in his instructions. First of all, he said, "One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, 'My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the mature world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service.'" And then to substantiate this statement, he quoted this verse from Ramayana. "Sakrit eva prapanno yas tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai vidam yetat vitamama." This is abhayam. "I give him fearlessness, and dadhami, I give vritam mama, and this is my vow." This is the Lord's vow. And again, this isn't Krishna. He doesn't have to tell Arjuna, "You promise." Right? "Arjuna, you promise," because, you know, my devotee doesn't tell. Anyway. But I am speaking as one who never breaks his promise, as the perfect king. So it is my vow. "It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this day I am yours,' and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on." So this was, in this connection, Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse to demonstrate the superiority of devotional service, that no other means of elevation is really sufficient to deliver us from illusion or to deliver us from the material world. Only devotional service, which essentially means to surrender unto the Lord, to accept the protection of the Lord, can elevate us. And it's interesting to note also that Ram actually extends this, that even if someone has It's stated here if one seriously surrenders, but Ram even extends that more. He says that somehow or other, if they surrender unto me, even if they have some motive, even if they're not pure or whatever, still I will accept them. I will give them shelter. So he's so kind. So we'll conclude. Everyone present was moved deeply by Ram's speech. With tears flowing from his eyes, Sugriva said, "It is no wonder that you should speak in this way, O Ram. You are the best knower of what is right and are always devoted to virtue. My doubts are gone. Let Vibhishana enjoy our friendship on an equal level with all of us." Sugriva gave Vibhishana Ram's message. Feeling assured, the Rakshasa descended to the earth along with his devoted followers. He went before Ram and lay flat on the ground with his bejeweled hands touching Ram's feet. Getting up onto his knees, he addressed Ram respectfully. "I am Vibhishana, the younger half-brother of Ravana. Insulted by him, I have come here, abandoning my family, friends, and home. O Ram, you are the only shelter of all beings. My very life now depends on you." Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. So, thank you very much. Should we stop? Or? I think it's late. Yeah, okay. Any discussion or? Hare Krishna. Oh.
If no one has a question, I would like to add to your.
Please.
Because Srila Prabhupada.
I already admitted I'm not a Ram Bhakta.
I had a long talk with Sripada Radhanath Maharaj, and I noticed that he stresses this issue of surrender.
Mm.
So he mentioned the story of Ramanujacharya when he was departing from this world, and one of his disciples, Dhanurdhar, he was crying. And at the deathbed of his Guru Maharaj, he says, "Guru Maharaj, this is easy for Vibhishana to surrender to Ram because his heart was pure."
Mm-hmm.
And Hanuman could see that, and he perceived that such a pure heart, he should be harmless, not to be scared, like Sugriv and Jambuvan, they were testing him, scaring mm-hmm. him, letting him go away, even though he has come to surrender. So in our practical life, when we come to surrender, sometimes we may be tested by some other devotee, may not feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So Dhanurdhar says that what will be result of our goal? My heart is not pure. What will happen now you're departing from this world? So he narrated this story and then he says, Vibhishana came to surrender, Lord Ram accepted. You just read the sloka, Abhayam Data Sarvam, Abhayam Sarvam Data Ham. Prabhupada verse many times I noticed.
Yeah.
Prabhupada loved it, that verse. That then he says, what about the four with Vibhishana? They were 100% Rakshasa, their heart was not pure, they had lust, greed, everything. But what happened to them? Only one quality they had, they were following a pure surrender soul.
Mm.
So Radhanath Maharaj made that point, if we can follow and like Ramanuja, Srinath Muni, Jamunacharya, dedicated soul, so if we follow them, then accept, even though my heart is not pure.
Yeah.
So therefore we should not have to worry. And he quotes verse, the Bhaktir Bhakta Jana Priya, that Lord Krishna, the very the dear devotee, I can serve. So, as sometimes more important than my dear devotee.
Nice point. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada also made that point. I have no ability to achieve direct service, but in his humility, he said that I can simply be the servant of my Guru Maharaj. Bhaktar Bhakti Janapriya. Thank you.
I just requested maybe you could contrast the actions of Vibhishan, how Vibhishan left his brother to surrender to the Lord, whereas Bhishma did, he didn't leave the company of the Dhritarashtra and company, even though he knew they were religious minded.
Wow. That's a good question. So the question is that Bhishma, who was clearly a great devotee, didn't leave the company of Dhritarashtra and others, whereas Vibhishana did give up that association. Why is that? I don't have an answer for that question.
In the first canto, 9th chapter, verse 17 or 18, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, in related to that, that this is a main quality. Mother Lakshmimuni mentioned in her class, at least, that malleability. Malleability.
Yeah.
That even that the Bhishma Dev, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that Bhishma Dev, in order to Krishna, to prove that vice cannot win over virtues, he knowingly, intentionally was joining on the other side and did not just to please Krishna. In the Padma Puran, there is a narrated of story that where Lord Krishna actually told. He has to be also at the same time. One boon is that from his father that nobody can kill him unless he wants to die. Iccha mritya. And second boon was from his guru Parashuram that you are undefeatable. Mm. What more you need to win a victory in a war? So Bhishma Dev had this. So he was the perfect candidate to be a representative who will be equal to Krishna's party, Pandavas. Just to prove that point, Krishna in super or no, vice cannot win over virtue. Prabhupada made it very clear why Bhishma Dev did it.
Sounds good. Okay. Thank you very much. I guess that's all. Sri Ramachandra ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.